Let us all be seated in the presence of God this morning. As you were singing that first song, Man of Sorrows, I was just thinking about who we are singing about. We are singing about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Maker of the heaven and earth. And as I was reflecting on that, I was thinking about if the president or the prime minister or the ruler of a city or even if the mayor of Toronto walks into this place, how respectfully we would treat that person. But when the king of all those rulers, the king of all the authorities came, he came to a low manger. He rid himself of any ounce of respect. Grew up, was born in a stinky little manger where there were animal and animal dung. If our children were to be born, we would want them to be born in the most prestigious hospital, most prestigious, clean place with the best doctors and nurses available. For Jesus' parents, they did not even have the privilege of a little inn. Jesus was born in a stinky little animal manger. It's hard for us to imagine this manger because usually when we think of Christmas and we imagine this nativity scene, it looks really cute. It's so beautiful, beautiful lights, animals all around, very cute. But those of us who have grown around animals in India, you know that the nativity scene is never true. It is filled with filth. The animals stink. There is animal pee and poop everywhere. I'm sure you never expected that this morning. The pastor will be preaching about animal pee and poop. But I just want you to imagine that that is where the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that we worship this morning was born. When I think of God's love, and I see this table in front of me, I'm reminded of His love. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He allowed Himself to be slaughtered like a common lamb or criminal so that we can be here this morning worshiping Him. So when we say He is worthy of it all, you can have it all, and we will give our pure exaltation, pure adoration. Church, think for a moment what God laid down for us. Why are we reserving ourselves? Why have we got our pride, our ego, we're worried about who's standing right next to us. We're worried about what those people will think. If God started caring about all of that, there would have been no gospel. If He thought about Himself as, I am the King of Kings, I am the Lord of Lords. When I come, I'm going to be born in a palace. When I go around, I want a Rolls Royce to carry me. Rolls Royce of camels and donkeys. At that time, there was no real Rolls Royce, right? Or when Jesus was there on earth and people said, can we follow you? What did He say? The Son of Man does not have a place to lay His head. That is our Jesus. He rid Himself of any claim to be treated as the King of Kings. But when we come to church, we want to be treated as the King of Kings. We want to be respected by everyone in our society. We don't want to lay our pride down. We don't want to let go of our ego. If our king did that, who are we? That's what moved me to tears this morning as I was worshiping God. I was thinking about Man of Sorrows. Anyway, we won't be doing psalm reading this morning. I'll be doing a small portion on Romans. I'll be continuing it. Every time I come here to preach on Romans, I find like I'm getting less and less time. But it's not because of your fault, it's my own fault. It's my own emotional state that leads me to this space. But last time we were here, the Spirit of God prompted me to continue praying for, you know, certain things and issues, and we prayed and we were praying for them. But I feel like I didn't touch Romans chapter 12 enough. Even though I spoke a few minutes on it, I feel like I didn't touch Romans chapter 12 enough. So I'm going to read Romans chapter 12 again. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Roma Legnam Pandranda Madhyayam and Aditya Randa Vaking. We know this verse really well. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, I'm going to focus on this part of worship. This morning we sang that song, He's worthy of all glory, honor, power and praise. We lift up to you pure exaltation, pure adoration. Now, what is the best form of flattery? Think of it as a quiz question. What is the best form of flattery you can give to someone? What? Imitation. Oh, yes, that's true. Thank you, Renard, brother. Imitation is the best form of flattery. What is that? What does that mean? Let me explain that. Okay? If I really like somebody and I think that that person is cool, my hairstyle will start to reflect of that cool person. If I really like somebody, in India there is Mohanlal, there is Mammootty, and there are people who are like Mammootty fans, and there is Mohanlal fans. In the Malayalam theater cinemas, none of you guys are that for sure, because all of you are very holy people. But there is this people who are fans of certain people, but then they're like, so much they're like, I want to look like this guy. Here in North America, we have NBA stars, baseball players, actors. They can wear anything. The minute they wear it and the paparazzi take a picture, that item will be sold out. I remember a few years ago, here in Canada itself, in Toronto, the brand Champion was nothing. It was the most waste label here in Toronto. No one would think wearing Champion was cool. Champion cap, Champion shirt, Champion shorts. No one thought. Everyone wanted Nike, Adidas, Reebok, all of these famous brands. But then this one random dude who speaks really fast, his name is Drake, he just starts wearing Champion clothes. Now, you go anywhere, people want Champion clothes. Why? They want to dress up like their star or their idol. Does that make sense? Imitation is the best common form of flattery. If my child says, and they grow up, it's like, I want to be like you, Dad. Oh my goodness, my heart will melt. Right? I want to be just like you. I want to be cool like you. Somehow after the age of 12, that does not continue. But before the age of 12, They wanted to be cool like us. And we are like, oh, that's such a proud moment for parents. Because it's like, I feel good about me. Imitation is the most common form of flattery. Imitation is the best form of worship. What you worship, you will imitate. In the book of Isaiah, I'm not taking those verses, but Isaiah the prophet says, you are like the idols you worship. Your gods cannot see, so you don't see. Your gods cannot speak, so you don't speak. Your gods can't do anything, so you can't do anything. What we worship, we will also be like. Unknowingly so. When we watch TV shows, I don't know if you guys watch TV, but if there is some star or a person that you look at and it's like, I like what they do, unconsciously, your words will start to imitate what they say. Your mannerisms will start changing to be like their mannerisms. It's just the form of human psyche or mind. You imitate what you want to be like. And we all want to be like stars. We want to be like these idols. They're called idols. Ironically, they're called idols. We want to be like these idols. But real worship of Christ requires us to imitate Christ. What does imitate Christ mean? What did Jesus do when he came down on earth? Did he boss people up? Did he go up to anybody? Do you know who I am? He laid down his rights, laid down who he is, loved the people who people thought couldn't be loved. If we want to worship God, saying I worship you is not enough. Imitation is true worship. Of course we all say we love Jesus. Of course we all say we want to worship Jesus. We sang this morning. What is pure adoration and pure exaltation? Becoming like Jesus. Are we transforming to be more like Christ? If not, all we are doing is lip service. And we Malayalis are very good at lip service. What is lip service? Going up to people is like, endha parayunnu sahodara. Endha parayunnu sistere. Sugamano. Oh, kaiya aicha vilichilla. Or, you know, I hope you're thinking about you. Or when we receive the call, I was just about to call you. How convenient, I called you instead. I'm taking bullets here also. People are like, this is for you. You don't call us. I know people are thinking that. But anyway, like, what is this? What we are doing is, we do lip service. We talk to people all the time and say, oh, how are you? You're doing well. That sari looks very nice on you. That dress looks very good on you. A shirt evada kitti? Oh, parayane. Just send me a link online for the purchase. I like that shirt. When we go in the car, what are we saying? A shirt gandille. Adha ma churchil undannathu. What do we do? It's called lip service. We do this to God. We come to church and we say, worthy are you, Lord. But our lives don't imitate Christ. It is not worship. It is lip service. Again, in the book of Isaiah, God said, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are not close to me. I refuse to hear their prayers. Just worshiping Him with our lips, with our tongue, with our mouth is not good enough. Our actions, our behavior, our character must reflect Christ. And what did Christ do? He came from heaven, came to a stinky little manger, gave up every right of even a house or even a pillow, and served His creation. That is the manner of love that Christ has shown to us. So what manner of love should we show? Forget the people in the world, to one another. Last, or 2 weeks ago when I preached on this, I said that in verse 2 of Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What did I say this renewing of your mind is? Love. Romans chapter 1, all the way to 8, Paul lays down sound theology and doctrine, teaching about what does it mean to live by the Spirit, not according to the flesh. He takes 8 chapters to set it up, talking about do not live in the flesh, but live by the Spirit. To have what it means to be a real Jew, to have spiritual circumcision of the heart. And he outlines the steps to do so in the first 8 chapters. Chapters 9 to 11, Paul now starts talking about how he longs for Israel to be joined back. And he says, if God was willing to cut Israel, His original chosen people, His elect, away and graft us strangers and Gentiles in, be careful of our spot. They were not secure. Don't think for a moment we are secure. Then we come to Romans chapter 12 and 13, and Paul starts talking about what is true worship. And true worship requires love, which is the renewing of our minds. So chapter 12 and 13 is talking about this love in theory. Chapter 14 and 15 is talking about this love in practice. This morning, me and Pastor George Philip, we were talking about Indian churches versus multicultural or white churches that are around us. I'm not saying only white churches, but multicultural churches. One of the main differences, in Indian churches, we have sound theology. We have proper preaching from the depths of scriptures, like better than any theology training school. You're getting served solid food. Proper solid food. I would say a feast is served, a buffet feast is served every Sunday. Not one, but two. But you go to a multicultural church, they don't often teach theology or sound biblical doctrine or teaching. They often teach about practical tips. 10 steps for your marriage to be God-centered. 10 W's to experience transformation. Word. They'll look up the dictionary and find 10 W's and then build their sermons around the 10 W's. It's not mainly scriptural. It's more practical. So you have these Indian churches which are super scriptural. And you have these non-ethnic churches that are super practical. The Bible was never meant to be only theology. or only practical. We have to balance it out. Every week, we listen to beautiful sermons. And we get a buffet feast. And we go home and we listen to more sermons. We put YouTube on and listen to more sermons. Throughout the week, Indians are listening to sermons everywhere. They have the sermons constantly playing in the background. Even while cutting onions, they're listening to sermons. They're crying, but they're listening to sermons. What's the point if there is no practicality? On the other hand, what's the point of being practical if there is no sound doctrine and teaching and theology to ground your practice on? You have to balance both. So Paul, in chapters 12 and 13, lays sound doctrine on what worshiping God is like. Versus chapter 14 and 15, it's about how does this look practically. Now, in chapter 12, there's a verse there that talks about hypocrisy. Can't find it right now. Where is that? Verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. I think these verses 9 to verses 16, should be preached before any general body at every church everywhere. Anyone who speaks out of line with this scripture should leave the general body. If you cannot listen to scripture, you have no right to speak the direction where the church is going. If you cannot be like Jesus and imitate his love, leave the church. That is why when pastors talk about the Holy Communion, they say, Tannethan shodhana cheyidittu venam. Kai neettendya. This is not a joke. Examine yourself. Are we transforming to be more like Christ, or are we just doing lip service? Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And chapter 12, verse 21, it ends like this. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This, how is it possible? To a person who's living in the Spirit, what we read about in Romans chapter 8, it is possible because it is the renewing of their mind and transforming their mind, not according to what they want, but laying down their right, laying down their pride, laying down their ego and saying, I want to live like Christ did. We can all listen to this sermon and leave church and said, that was a good sermon. I've never heard of this perspective before. Amazing. Powerful. And if it doesn't transform our mind, if it does not renew our mind, if it doesn't change the way that we worship, if it does not mean that we imitate and are closer to Christ one more day, all you're doing is lip service. Keep it in your pocket. The Bible is not something to be joked about or just preached about. It requires a change and transformation in our life. And if we are not being transformed, and if our brothers and sisters who are within the church do not see the love that we have, forget the people outside the church. We are trying to do mission-minded to bring people within the church, but we cannot love our own brothers and sisters within the church. What's the point? I'm not saying don't be mission-minded. I'm saying our service to one another should be so exceptional that when people come in here, they say, these people love God. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said that they will know that you are my disciples. How? You don't wear malakamal. You cover your head in worship. You wear formal shirt and pant when you come to church. Is that how we will be recognized as disciples of God? The way that you love one another. And if we love one another, we will not talk half the stuff that we talk behind their backs. Do not love hypocritically. Pastor, this morning when I was talking to you, you told me that one of his grandchildren asked him, Appacha, every week after week we hear about God's love and the love of God. But there is no practical change in our attitude. Nammada kunjippullar choikkunnathana. നമുക്ക് ഉത്തരം പറയാൻ പറ്റുമോ? ഇത് കണ്ട പിള്ളേർ വളർന്നു സഭയിലാത്തില്. എത്ര നമ്മൾ അവരുടെ അടുത്ത് പ്രസംഗിച്ചാൽ വാട്ട് ദേ വിൽ തിങ്ക്? പാസ്റ്റർ അവരുടെ അടുത്ത് പ്രസംഗിക്കുന്നു, അവർ വീട്ടിൽ പോകുമ്പോൾ അവർ പാസ്റ്ററിനെ തർക്കിച്ച് പറയുന്നു. വാട്ട് ദേ വിൽ തിങ്ക്? വൈ ഷുഡ് ദേ ലിസൺ ടു യുവർ സെർമൺ ദെൻ? Model love. That is the true worship that God desires. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. What does that mean? Renewing of your mind. What is renewing of your mind? Have the same attitude of Christ. Imitate Christ. Have His love. If any action you do and you feel that that's not coming from the love of Christ, take it captive and say, you have no place here. I'm just going to read one more verse. I'm going to end it. I know that we have the Lord's table. So Romans chapter 13. I thought might as well give you the ending of Romans chapter 13 too. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. This is the end of Romans chapter 13. Do this knowing the time that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. 2,000 years later, we are 2,000 years nearer to this. The night is almost gone. And the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. Verse 14. It's so important. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust. Put on Jesus Christ. Can we imitate Him? That is the best form of worship. If we came here to worship this morning and our lives have not transformed one bit more to be like Jesus Christ, all you did was move your mouth. And God does not have to listen to your lip service, because God doesn't look at the mouth. God looks at the heart. And if our heart remains untransformed, What is the point of singing Man of Sorrows, worthy of it all? Pure exaltation, pure adoration. Meaningless words. But if we encounter the Spirit of God and we sing with meaning, the love of God will transform us. And people will start wanting to come to our church. When they see the way that our brothers and sisters love one another, why wouldn't any person want to be a part of that church? That is the best form of missions. Can we love ourselves better, church? Can we love one another just as Christ has loved us? If anyone has done wrong to one another, forgive them. Don't hold it against them. Maybe they didn't even know that they did wrong. Forgive them. You be more like Christ. Forgive them, for they do not know what they do. That is the love of Christ. This is the holy and acceptable worship, the living sacrifice that Paul is writing about. Let us just bow our heads and close our eyes. Father God, we ask you. Father, we talk about love so much. We talk about it, we sing about it, we preach about it, we hear about it. But Lord, if it does not transform us, what is the point? If we speak in tongues and the language of angels, but if we do not have love, are we just not clanging cymbals to you? Just annoying instruments to you? Lord, we pray that our words, our actions, our life, our character will testify and imitate you, so that when other people see us, they see Jesus Christ. When other people meet us, they see Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that this sermon is not another intellectual engagement with this crowd, but I pray that the Spirit of God will hit us where it needs to hit. Heal where it needs to heal. Discipline where it needs to discipline. Cut where it needs to cut. Rebuke where it needs to rebuke. So that we are chiseled to be more like you. Into your image better. We want you to be our idol. Not anything of this world. Not the stars of this world. We forget that we don't want them. We want to imitate Christ. We want to imitate you. Thank you, Jesus, Father, for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for mercy. Continue to minister to us, especially through the Lord's table, Lord, as we examine ourselves and we say, we stretch forth our hand. Help us to remember the attitude that you had, so that we can reflect that attitude to the people around us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you.